Let's begin our mayoral whip around, shall we? We'll start this morning in Glenelg with Councillor Jeff White, who is the mayor there. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Jeremy.
Your council meeting, of course, was yesterday, and several things have come out of that. Firstly, you've granted a permit for the construction of a densified biomass fuel pellet processing plant, which is a bit of a mouthful, in Haywood.
That's right.
What can you tell us about this plant? What exactly is a biomass fuel pellet processing plant?
Okay, what happens here is... the operation of that particular plant, they take the material that's left on the plantation forest floor after harvesting, which would normally be just left there as debris. They take that into the plant and they turn it into fuel pellets, and those fuel pellets would then be exported through the Port of Portland to a very large market in Europe, where they're fed into furnaces to produce electricity.
Right, okay. So as far as this particular plant goes then, how big are we expecting this plant will be?
Well, it's a multi-million dollar plant, which therefore it came to council, full council, for a permit approval. There's a sister operation, plant operation, being built right now at Mount Gambier, and those two plants will produce 250,000 tonnes initially, building up to far more than that to be exported, and that will result in, I understand from the Port Authority, up to an extra 10 ships a year.
Right. Now, I imagine building it in Haywood is obviously a very practical place to put something like this, given the harvest that will be happening around that area. What impact will it have on Haywood, though? Is it likely to be a noisy facility, for example?
Well, of course, there's 37 conditions attached to the planning permit, and that deals with noise levels at certain times of the certain times over a 24-hour period. It deals with environmental matters, traffic management, Vic Roads have requirements about intersections on the highway. So it's tightly controlled, as one would expect these days, on environmental issues.
Mm. How close to the actual town will it be as well?
Oh, it's north of Haywood. It would be no more than about, 4 or 5 kilometres, and it's located adjacent to the Hindi Highway and also adjacent to the Portland to Hamilton railway line. So there is an opportunity in the future for some of that commodity maybe to be put on rail.
Right, okay.
But obviously there are a number of jobs involved.
Yes, I was going to say that I guess the other aspect is employment opportunities, I guess not only with the building but also with the when it's up and running?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Now, as part of that permit, I understand you've also waived a required number of car parking and bicycle spaces.
Yes.
But why was that necessary, and what will that mean exactly, I guess, for those who are working there, for example?
Well, I don't know the technical details surrounding all of that, but obviously due to the nature of the operation, it's relevant. It's relevant in this instance, given that it's off-road, it's in the middle of a blue gum plantation. It wouldn't have the same requirements for a plant installed in a built-up area.
Right. Okay. Now, also last night, I think you discussed the Henty Beach boat launching ramps, which were pretty busy, I take it, during the recent tuna season. What was discussed in relation to those ramps?
Well, yes, what happened there is there's obvious congestion because of the popularity of tuna fishing, particularly here in more recent times. Congestion in parking in the Henty Beach area. That's one of the most significant recreation boating assets in Western Victoria, certainly between Port Phillip Bay and the South Australian border. And we have between 130 to 150 vehicle trailer units parking in that area at peak times. So you can imagine it was never designed, what's there at the moment was never designed to accommodate those sort of volumes. So we had to come up with a number of options for the future as to how we might best manage that.
Mm.
We looked at those options, and the preferred option seems to be examined more closely, one where the boats are launched and then the vehicle moves to another area some hundreds of metres away, and we put in a pontoon, and we have an arrangement where the operator of the boat then comes over to the pontoon area and picks up the vehicle driver, and out they go fishing together. When they come back, they put that operation into reverse.
Right.
So okay. This, we really do need to do something urgently about this, because there is intrusion onto landscaped and lawned areas on our foreshore.
Right, yes. Now, you also were talking last night about introducing berthing fees, or rather a change in the way that the local port is run. I think you'll be taking it over from the DSC.
Yes, that's true, Jeremy. From the 1st of July, the council became the local port for the area around the new $12 million trawler wharf. And we have entered a business case arrangement and have a budget approved with the DSE for the administrative general management, maintenance and risk management of the new port that we're costing and controlling. And it's important that the Glenelgshire ratepayers are not subsidising the local port in any form, and all the capital works required in the future will be sourced from local port's discretionary capital funds from the DSE. And last night we approved all of those things and of course set the proposed fees for the future. They provide the necessary income to offset, of course, all of the costs associated with employing extra staff and the usual costs with running this new wharf.
All right. And just briefly, are those fees substantially different to what people may have been paying in the past?
Well, my understanding is that those fees, of course, in the past have been paid direct to the Port of Portland Authority, which controlled that area. Now that we've taken it over, the fees are slightly higher than they were before.
Right, okay. We may have to talk more about that in future weeks because we're getting a bit tight on time here. But Councillor Jeff White, thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy.
We will talk to you next week. It is 20 minutes past 7. Better get a bit of a move on or we're going to be in trouble. We'll go to Moynshire now and Councillor Ken Gale, who's the Mayor there. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Now, something very big from your council meeting last night, which was regarding the decision about Shipwreck Coast marketing. You've delayed this decision for a couple of months now, but last night you've decided, or you've taken the step that you're going to withdraw from Shipwreck Coast marketing?
Yes, we're going to cut our ties with Shipwreck Tourism Board, and this comes as no surprise. We've been looking at various options over the last couple of months or so, and we've decided to develop our own model for tourism, and we're quite excited about that. We're very appreciative of the fact that Shipwreck Coast Tourism Board have worked with us for a number of years now, but we think it's time for a change of direction.
Now, when will this take effect?
As of today.
Right, okay. Now, what other options then have you been exploring? What other options do exist in the area?
Look, there's a number of options. We're looking at what other municipalities do, and my friend Jeff White will know that we've had the tourism manager speak to our council. We're going to get Southern Grampians to come down as well. We've had individual operators come and talk to us, as well as groups. We've had Tourism Victoria come and talk to us, and we believe there are some options out there that we may consider. It's going to take us quite a few months to consider those options and come up with something really good, but I'm sure we will. Mm. Now, because we've broken our ties with Shipwreck Coast Tourism, it doesn't mean that the single operators in the Moynshire have to follow suit. They can still be members of that organisation. So there's no real impact on those operators at this stage.
What sort of reaction are you expecting as well into this decision? I know you've already sort of polled a few of those operators, or and most of them, I would imagine, to gauge their feelings. But now that you've made this cut, what sort of reaction are you expecting, perhaps, especially from those who might be in areas like Port Campbell and so on?
Well, look, we've been in contact with a lot of the tourism operators in the area, both small and large, and we've been encouraged to make this move. And we only made the move because we have been encouraged to do so by many, many tourism operators and also ratepayers who are very concerned about the name change. So we took that extra step. And look, we're quite excited about what the future might hold for the Moynshire and the whole region. Mm. So we're looking forward to exploring those options.
I mean, it's very difficult, I would imagine, to try to market yourself on your own. So you will have to join up with somebody else, most likely. It'll be the most likely outcome, won't it?
Look, that's a possibility. We may go it alone. We may have to put more than $70,000 into it. But I think the councillors, the way they're thinking, is saying, well, if we need to, well, fair enough, we have to. But we will get up a very good model and hopefully be very, very successful.
All right. We could see you with a sandwich board, perhaps, in the streets of Melbourne before too long, Councillor Kingale.
Well, may be the case, Jeremy.
We will talk more about this as it develops and as new ideas come to light, I'm sure. But thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Councillor Gengale there, Mayor of Moyne, 23 past 7. We're in the middle of our mayoral whip around. We catch up with all the mayors around the southwest every Wednesday morning here on Breakfast to see what's been going on. Apologies for being a bit brief this morning, but I do want to leave enough time for Michael Neo and also Councillor Marcus French. We'll go to Warrnambool next. Councillor Michael Neo is the mayor there, of course. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Now, you were in Melbourne yesterday along with some other mayors from around Victoria. Just outline for us what that trip was about.
Yes, Regional Cities, which incorporates the 10 major city regional cities in Victoria, released a report indicating that we have the capacity and the solution to take quite a significant amount of the inward migration to Victoria. Our case is based on a number of things. First of all, we are able to deliver opportunities for people to come to regional Victoria. And the actual cost as far as congestion and also greenhouse emissions is about 60% less. And also because we've got fairly good infrastructure in regional cities, that to bring 100,000 additional people to regional cities would be 70% less compared to starting from scratch in Melbourne.
Mm. Now, how practically might something like this work? Is it a case of, because I mean, ultimately, of course, it's up to the people who move here to decide where they live, I guess. But is this are you after an increased push, perhaps, to offer regional Victoria as a viable option?
Look, in the last 5 years or so, the population growth in regional cities has gone from 10% to 20%, and that's partly due to state government promoting provincial Victoria and also through Regional Development Victoria Initiative. So we're saying to the state government, if you continue to invest like you have in the past, those aspirational figures, and for Warrnambool it's about 50,000 as far as population, we can deliver outcomes as far as taking some of the load off Melbourne, which is expected to grow from about 5 million to 7 million in the next couple of decades.
Mm. Now, what sort of reception did you get as well?
Look, we've released the report to the Premier. Initial feedback has been that, look, we've actually congratulated the state government on their push for regional development. We've also sent it to other parties as well, because it is an apolitical document. We're saying that we have the capacity, and there's been great interest, both from the media and also all political parties. So, look, it's very promising. We're also hoping that our neighbouring shires might support the document as well, because anything that brings people to the southwest will benefit all shires.
Mm. Now, one other little quick thing to talk about. You've brought forward the work on the Ferry Street roundabout. I understand that will now be starting pretty soon, in the next couple of weeks.
Look, that's right. Our main concern is to get the job done before the Christmas shopping period. There was a push to put a guarantee of 4 weeks on the works. We didn't want to provide an encore promise of saying that we will get it done within 4 weeks, so our time frame is for about mid-October. Weather permitting, we'll try to get it done as soon as possible, but we just couldn't give that ironclad guarantee that the four-week period could be met, particularly with this weather. So we've said that we will start basically from this weekend onwards, and we'll try to get it done by early October, which will leave the late October, November, December, Christmas period free from any works.
Very good. Councillor Michael Neo, thanks to you as well. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Councillor Michael Neo, Mayor of Warrnambool. We'll finish this morning in the Southern Grampians with Councillor Marcus Wrench. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Now, you've got a big art show coming up this weekend in Coleraine.
Yes, this is a big event at Coleraine. It's a two-day art show held at their Mechanics Hall. And the judging will take place on the Saturday morning, I gather. And the winners and all the prizes to be announced at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon.
Very good, very good. Whereabouts does it take place again, sorry?
It's at the Mechanics Hall in Winter Street, Coleraine.
Mechanics Hall, alrighty.
And the Coleraine and District Development Association.
Very good. And I guess for those who haven't been through that area since the bushfires earlier this year as well, it might be a good chance as well just to have a look at how Coleraine's been recovering since that event.
Yes, it's quite amazing how the hills have recovered. And my rain gauge has recorded in the last week for 45.5 mils, which is getting up towards 2 inches. And I'm pretty confident that that's been a general rain right throughout our region. And so Coleraine also would be breathing. sigh of relief that this rain has been just wonderful.
Indeed, be very happy with that. A reminder as well about your Inclusive Business Awards. Nominations are open for those now.
Yes, this is in their fifth year, and nominations are now open for six different categories, and nominations close on September. No, I think it's earlier than that. They close pretty soon. It's in Friday, 4th of September, they actually close, Jeremy. So
So Friday week.
Yeah,
for those. Yeah, and just very briefly as well, you wanted to have a chat about sporting facilities.
Yes, our synthetic hockey field feasibility study and tennis development strategy. They're out for public comment. The hockey strategy for comments from the public was actually due in this last Monday, but if any haven't got their comments in, they, as soon as they can this week, it would be most appreciated. And the tenants report that those comments are to be in by Thursday the 10th of September.
Alrighty. More details about that on your website as well, I'm sure. Councillor Marcus French, thanks to you. We'll talk to you next week as well.
See you later.
Councillor Marcus French, Mayor of Southern Grampians.